Little Thing, written by Mariel Pollock in 1917, comes from a recording called Animal Fair, the River Raisin Ragtime Review, here on Mosaic on WCMU. The concert with the ensemble is next Thursday, September the 19th at 7:30 at the Staples Concert Hall in the Music Building on the campus of CMU. Music.cmish.edu for all of the information. And the trombonist for the group and also professor of trombone at Central Michigan University School of Music, Professor Bob Lindahl, joining us in studio today. Good to have you here.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here.
The Rooster Rag. Including not quite an authentic rooster, but as close as you could get.
Right. That's the percussion gig. You know, Andre gets to do things like that.
Well, the concert that we've been talking about also is going to include a recording project, and we'll get to that in just a little while here this morning. But the ensemble itself, how did this all come together? It's a group that has, as you were telling me before we went on, an incredible library of possible tunes from this great era in American music. But how did the whole thing come together, and how has it evolved over the years?
Well, River Raisin was founded in the early 2000s, maybe 15, 20 years ago, by William Hayes and William Pemberton, I believe. And I came on, I've been playing for about 6 years or so with the group, so I can't tell you a lot about the early history, but they are avid historians and love the ragtime era and have collected thousands of charts in the library, and they know so much about this whole era. So I was so happy to be able to play with this band because I enjoyed early jazz history, and this takes me back even a little further into the predecessor of jazz, or one of the biggest influences.
And this project that is going to be an affiliation here with Central Michigan University, you were saying too, is not the only collaboration. You've got some regular places that you play, but you were also saying that the group based out of Ann Arbor has done things in affiliation with not only CMU, but other schools as well?
Right. Last year we did a similar project with the University of Michigan, where we recorded a CD of traditional African-American music from spirituals to Burt Williams vaudeville tunes with Daniel Washington, who is on the vocal staff at the University of Michigan. And William Hayes is our main writer. He wrote all the orchestrations for that. And the previous year or two, maybe 2017, we did a joint project and it involved Eastern Michigan University that was to perform and record music of Reginald Robinson, who is a ragtime pianist and composer out of Chicago. And we've done with Greenfield Village, did some CD work with, because we perform at Greenfield Village quite a bit. We just played the Old Car Show this past weekend. So this is really exciting to bring it to CMU and have CMU support it in the way that they're supporting it.
We have a concert, in-concert recording from October of 2017 with the review that we'll be getting to a little bit later on as well. So how do you then pull together rehearsal time? You got musicians, you said a lot from Ann Arbor, but how do you coordinate that and then arrange things when everybody else, as they say, has a full-time gig too?
Right. Well, they're all professionals. It's a 13-piece theater orchestra. And everybody that plays is professionally trained in the field. So when we have a gig, then you back up from the gig and you schedule 2-3 rehearsals to learn the music you have to learn for that particular performance. So you might go for 2 or 3 months without rehearsing at all, and then you have to play. So we played at the Arc in Ann Arbor in August, and we had a few rehearsals before that, and that was mostly a completely different program than this. And we played at Greenfield Village this past weekend, and we played some of the pieces that we're playing next week for that. So we've rehearsed maybe half of what we're going to play next week, and now we have to go to, some of us drive to Ann Arbor, and we'll be there late Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then we have a rehearsal Thursday.
And then the concert Thursday night, the 19th, at 7:30. at the Staples Concert Hall in the Music Building at CMU. Music.cmich.edu for all of the information. So you mentioned a 13-piece instrumentation and configuration. Now, where did that, I mean, is that authentic to the time for many of the ensembles? Was the idea to have a blending of different groups of the time to finally wind up with that number and the instruments that you have in the group?
Yeah, I think traditional theater orchestras in back in the late 19th century had anywhere from 10 to 15, 16 instruments in them, and it's depending on the charts of the composers and the writers what they wrote for. So a lot of the rags that we play have other parts, like occasional even oboe and bassoon part or horn part or saxophone part, but the great majority have instrumentation for 12 to 14. And so we established, that's what we do. It's the most practical instrumentation for what we do. So we have two violins, a viola, a cello, a flute, a clarinet, two trumpets, trombone, tuba, banjo, piano, and drums.
It's all 13 of them right there. Yeah. The River Raisin Ragtime Review in concert on Thursday the 19th at 7:30 at CMU. Now, you mentioned some of the tunes that kind of blended between one gig and another, but you're also saying that for the recording project that'll take place the next day, there's a lot of pieces that now are being pulled out of the library that the group has not played before, any of them, or are these things that you haven't had a chance to play? What's some of the stuff that will be going on to that CD?
Basically, we're playing 19 pieces. They're all about 3 minutes long, so it's about an hour's worth of music. And I don't know if we've ever played any one of these until last Saturday night at Greenfield Village. We played a few of them. So I don't know that the group, and for sure most of the program hasn't been performed at all in over 100 years. So my project is really the trombone's usage in American popular music between the years 1880 and 1930. So we go back before ragtime and we're playing a couple trombone solos from the 1880s that would have been done with traditional town bands. And then we hit 18, by the time you hit 1897-ish, that's the first time ragtime was published. So the ragtime era is really 1897 to 1927, and we're trying to bring it back, of course. So we found rags in the library called, like, master trombone and trombone sneeze rag. And that laughing trombone, now that you laugh. And for sure, these pieces, we can't find anybody that's performed them, and we have the original orchestrations from the years that they were done. So we're trying to cover that time period. And there's cakewalks and there's marches. Arthur Pryor, I'm not playing any Arthur Pryor solos on this, partly because so many of them have been recorded and performed so many times. But we're playing an Arthur Pryor march that he wrote in 1920. We're playing an Arthur Pryor Southern Hospitality cakewalk that he wrote in 1899. And we're playing all the way up to things like Kid Ory Creole trombone transcription of the first recording done by an all-African-American jazz band, and that was 1922 by Kid Ory. So we're trying to find everything that's historically significant. We're also found a couple pieces by women composers. We're playing pieces by African-American composers. So those are all the goals of our project, and we got funding from CMU's FRCE grant, internal funding to help with the recording project, because White Pine Label, the internal school of music label, is going to be producing the CD. And then River Raisin Ragtime is supported by grant cycles from the Michigan Council of the Arts and the National Endowments of the Arts. So couple that with the School of Music events funding and series, it's given us the opportunity to both perform and then have the facility to record. It's been wonderful.
You talk about some of these pieces that you can't find any actual record of any kind of a performance. And are we talking about some of the earliest stuff that would have been on 78 or piano rolls and having delved through all of that, these types of things just are literally going to be perhaps seeing an actual recorded performance for the very first time?
Yes, I believe so. It's hard to be totally 100% sure that, but some of these, you know, could have been done on a wax cylinder and lost, or but we can't. If you know, you can. I've done lots of Googling and can't find instances too much. Once in a while,
are we thinking mainly the Smithsonian, or are there other places where things like this might be housed?
Where do you look for it? If it was in the Smithsonian, it'd be easy to find a record.
Right, right.
And I've been on Library of Congress records and Smithsonian records and things like that, and trying to find information. We can't even find information about two or three of the composers of these pieces. You find these pieces, and it's hard to find even, you know, what year they lived on several occasions. And then other times you find information about somebody that was one of the composers lived in Ironwood, Michigan. Detroit has a great background of music for the whole 120 years, as you know. And there were a lot of ragtime composers that worked in Detroit. Windsor, Detroit, the whole upper Midwest had a lot of this. And, you know, it wasn't just Missouri, Scott Joplin. It spread quite rapidly through the United States. So we have a wide variety of pieces and composers.
Music.cmich.edu for all the information about the community concert that will be held on Thursday, September the 19th at 7:30 at the Staples Family Concert Hall, the music building on the campus of Central Michigan University. And then that next day, a full-day recording project that will be coming out through the School of Music's White Pine label. When it comes to recording, obviously things have to be reviewed and taken care of. Any idea in terms of the turnaround when you would expect the CD project to follow once the recording is done?
It's really hard to predict. Other things that we've done, projects, we've been able to get the CD out in 3 or 4 months after the recording date, and sometimes it takes a little longer. I know White Pine, Scott Tapazzi, our White Pine engineer, does a great job, and he's got a lot of projects in the hopper, so some of it depends on time. So it could be a year, but hopefully it's going to be less than that.
We'll look forward to that certainly when it comes our way. And again, a reminder of the concert on Thursday the 19th at 7:30, music.cmich.edu, and we'll get our hands on that recording as soon as it becomes available as well. Upcoming concerts or a website, if people want to track where the ensemble may be playing next, or some of the things yet in 2019 or into the early part of 2020, what are we looking
for? Well, I think that River Raisin has over 100 tunes on YouTube. They could go and just put River Raisin Ragtime Review on YouTube and see all kinds of things that we do. We're playing, they have a website too, River Raisin Ragtime Review. If you just plug that in, you'll go to the website. We're playing a Halloween show in Tecumseh on October 27th. We're playing in Sandusky, Ohio on November 11th. And I think that'll wrap up what we're doing this year. I haven't heard any further agenda, but our schedule and all kinds of information and how to buy CDs that we have, it's all on the River Raisin Ragtime Review website.